Two brief readings this afternoon. First of all, from the Gospel of Luke, please, and chapter 24. Luke's Gospel in chapter 24, and we'll commence to read at verse number 49. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Over to the second book of Timothy, please. Second book of Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4. And we'll read at verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Verse 6 again. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. At the commencement of the ministry this afternoon, I want very, very briefly to occupy your thinking, first of all, with the departing words of the person of the Lord Jesus and its effect upon the little band of disciples. Then when we come to the second portion, we're thinking of the last of the inspired writings of the Apostle Paul. And we have read something here of the departing words of the great servant of the Lord, Paul the Apostle. He said, I am now ready to be offered. The thought is, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. He now reflects upon his past. And he said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then he looks out into the future. And he thinks about the reward that lies before. My dear brethren, my dear sisters, let us be very simple and very practical and very much down to earth. Can I speak to you young men? Can I speak to you young women? We're so glad to see you here under the ministry of the Word of God. But I want to ask you a very simple, solemn question. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to leave? I'm not talking in a few hours from now leaving the conference to go to your home. That's not what we're thinking about. I'm not even thinking about the salvation of your soul. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, that is settled and that is secure. You're destined for heaven. But has the purpose for which God saved you
Has it been fulfilled in your life to this present time? You see, you might never have heard the color of mine. John the Baptist, his life ended when he was around 30 years of age. The great servant, the greatest of all, the servant of Jehovah, the person of the Lord Jesus, his life terminated 33 and a half years. The servant we've read about, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I don't think he was an old man. He was a dear man that used to preach the gospel and minister the word often in the area where I come from, the old country. His name was Jim Brown. A very upright, honest, sincere servant of the Lord he was. He used to say, we preach in the gospel to sinners, it's a solemn thing to die. But we need to emphasize to the saints of God that it is a solemn thing to live. The Savior, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose his own life? Younger people, older people, don't waste your life. Make the rest of your time count for God, for the glory of God. Have you taken a very solemn, serious look at life? Have you been in the presence of God? Have you been spending time before God? Yes, my dear sister, have you been spending time before God in seeking out the mind of God and the will of God for you in your life? I repeat it again. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to go? We have heard something about it, but maybe not too much in the conference thus far. But my dear brother and my dear sisters, we're living in the verge of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. When he comes and with bodies changed and fashioned like unto his own body of glory, we'll be taken home to glory. We'll have the great honor, with the great privilege of worshipping him without any hindrance. We'll have the great honor and the great privilege of serving him without any hindrance, but the time of service here on earth will be gone. You see, what we're trying to impress upon our minds is this. Time for serving the Lord, running out. Wouldn't it be nice now if you and I were like Christ? Remember that he could say, and I believe it was in anticipation of what he was just about to accomplish at Calvary. That high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus, what did he say? I have glorified thee in the earth. Young brother, young sister, you can glorify God. How did he glorify his Father? He glorified his Father by doing the will of his Father. How can you, dear sister, dear brother, how can you glorify God in your life and testimony here upon earth? Just by doing the will of God, reading the Word of God, allowing the Spirit of God to impress upon your mind what he would desire you to do. And then out of devotion to the man that died upon the cross, doing exactly what the Lord would desire you to do. What did he say? I've glorified thee in the earth. I've finished the work that thou givest me to do. Dear brethren and sisters, God has a work for you to do. Be exercised to find out what it is day by day. And do it. And do it with your might. And do it helped by the Spirit of God. And do it for the glory of God. And do it out of devotion and love to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Those that were at the conference in Sussex last weekend may remember that I read from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 3. After 30 years spent mainly in obscurity, by the perfect servant, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the heavens were opened. God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We didn't read it, we could have, but further on in the Gospel, about halfway through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Mount of Transfiguration, the heavens again are opened, and the word comes, as Peter says, from the excellent glory, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." I'm going to ask you a question. Some people, and before I ask the question, some people have the impression, if I'm going to do the will of God, and if I'm going to be pleasing to God, especially young brother might feel, I have to be able to preach the gospel. I have to be able to minister the word. I have to do something that is tremendous before the public eye. Not so, dear brother. And you, dear sisters, that are serving God in your home, raising your little family, or in your place of employment, and just doing exactly what the Lord wants you to do, we want you to understand, moving in the current of the will of God is Christ-like, and it's that that brings pleasure, and it brings delight to the heart of God. Now the question is, do you think the 30 years that the Lord Jesus spent in obscurity was less pleasing to his God than the 3.5 years of his public ministry? I think that you know the answer. That those private years of the life of Christ moving in the city of Nazareth, working at the carpenter's bench, likely initially with his father Joseph, moving in and out amongst the peoples of the city. Yes, the byword of them that sat at the gate, the song of the drunkard, and all the rest. But those private years and his movements and his activities were well pleasing to his God. Young sister, you serve God where you are, and you have the potential to bring great pleasure and delight to the heart of God. Just seek His, read His word and seek His will and do what He would impress upon you. You ought to do as a child of God, and young brethren the same. And whether your work is more in the private than the public, you can be one that will bring great pleasure, delight to the heart of God. Isn't that something to think? Now listen, isn't it something to think? We were reminded this morning and have been reminded throughout this conference of the greatness, the majesty and the glory and the might and the greatness of God. And oh, to think that you and I, individuals, can live a life that is pleasing to Him, that delights the heart of the great God of eternity. The Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel, He moved bringing pleasure and delight to the heart of God. I said at Sussex, and the points of my message were this: He was pleasing in His confidence in His God, His trust in His God. He was pleasing to God in His subjection. He was pleasing to God in His devotion that ultimately led Him to say in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." And here the Lord Jesus Christ, where we've read in Luke's Gospel in chapter 24, has been raised out from amongst the dead ones. He's made Himself known unto His own again. They've gazed upon Him, and even Thomas that doubted when he heard first of all of His resurrection and His appearance to the others. He said, unless he would put his hand into his side and his fingers, into the nail prints in his hands, he would not believe. The person of the Lord Jesus has made Himself known to His own resurrection ground. just about to go. Now keep in mind, we're not here to stay. Brethren and sisters, we're soon to leave. Whether it be by the rapture, or whether it be by the termination of life, we're soon going to leave. Your days of service are not going to be too long at the longest. So try to make your life to count for God. And here is the person of the Lord Jesus, and he's just about to leave his own. According to Matthew chapter 28, they've gone before him out into Galilee. When he appeared to them, he upbraided them because of their unbelief, the hardness of their hearts. Oh, you say, what a bunch of disciples. Well, now, likely not much different than the one that stands before you today. Likely, if you're honest, dear brother, dear sister, many ways just descriptive of you. But now the Lord Jesus is just about to leave them. What does he do? He lifts up his hands and he blesses them. And as he blesses them, he's taken up from them. And as he leaves them, what do we find? They are rejoicing. And they are praising God. Brethren, the way this speaks to me is this. Wonder what way I'm going to leave the Lord's people. Oh yes, he could have spoken about the time not too far past in their experience when they all forsook him and fled. He could have looked at Peter in spite of his restoration and said, "Oh Peter, you're the man that denied me before a little maid, when you're warming your hands at the world's fire." Could have reminded Thomas of his unbelief. He's not doing that. What's he doing is he's just about to leave. He's blessing his own. What's that mean? That word blessed possibly carries different thoughts, but one of the thoughts is this. He's speaking well of his own. I was thinking of Jacob when he blessed his sons. Mind you, everything he said, it wasn't very encouraging. And I was reading last night in the book of Deuteronomy about Moses, and he was blessing the tribes of Israel. And what he had to say on that occasion, it was for their honor. It was to their praise. The person of the Lord Jesus, just about to leave, he's blessing, speaking well of his own. My dear brother, my dear sister, if the Lord were to come today, or if we were to leave by the article of death, I wonder what would be in record in relation to my words, in relation to my brethren, in relation to my sisters. Brethren and sisters, we need to be very careful. What we say about our brethren, what we say about our sisters, because at any moment we could be raptured home to glory. What a tragedy if we were to leave. Not speaking well the one of the other. I know we're not perfect. I know that. We understand that. But there's something in every child of God that you and I can thank God for. And there's something in every child of God that we can bless God for. And here, on this occasion, when the Lord Jesus Christ, he leaves his own, how does he leave them? It says he leaves them. They return to Jerusalem with joy. And were continually in the temple. They were praising. They were blessing God. I only intended to spend a moment or two in that particular section. Wouldn't it be nice if we could be amongst the Lord's people in such a way that whenever we go, if the Lord be not come, we'll leave them rejoicing, and we'll leave them praising, blessing God, the Lord Jesus, and his final words to his own. The Apostle Paul, time is moving and I want to move along. Lifting his pen, having written an inspired letter to his son Timothy in the faith, speaks of him in his first epistle as his genuine son. Speaks to him, of him, in the second epistle, as his love son. This dear child of God, Timothy, at a very, very definite place in the affections of the Apostle Paul. Brethren and sisters, we ought to love one another. Let the ministry of Christ and recorded by John, if we love one another, then will all people know that we are his disciples. Here's the apostle. He had a real care for his son Timothy in the faith. Had a real love and a real care for the people of God. He understands he's not going to be delivered. He understands life is coming near an end. Understands that very soon he's going to go out. He's going to put his head up on the block. He's going to be with his blessed Lord, the one that he loved, and the one that he served. Now, brethren and sisters, keep it in mind. We're all soon going to go. We'll soon be going. Here we see the apostle now. What's he say? Sister Timothy, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. I'm actually being poured out. It was mentioned this morning in relation to the drink offering. He said, I'm already being poured out. Now ready to be offered. The time, my departure is at hand. Paul wasn't boasting. There's again been mentioned today of how that Paul wrote to the saints of God at Philippi. How that he looked upon himself as the smaller of the offering, the drink offering, being poured out upon them and upon their sacrifice and all the rest that we have in relation to them. They were like the big offering, the burnt offering. Paul was content to be just like the little drink offering that was poured out upon the sacrifice and service of their faith. He said, now I'm ready to be offered. Been poured out. The time of my departure is at hand. You see, the Apostle Paul, he was like Christ. Because the drink offering speaks to us of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was made, we read in the Old Testament, in relation to the drink offering, it was the fourth part of a hin of wine. Wine in Scripture speaks of joy. And oh, the joy that the person of the Lord Jesus brought to his Father as he moved here as a man amongst men. And oh, the delight and the joy that he brought to his God when upon the cross he offered himself a sacrifice without spot unto his God. The Lord Jesus was the true drink offering. And he brought joy to his God. We could look in the Old Testament at the different times that the drink offering was offered in conjunction with the morning and evening sacrifice and in conjunction with the sheaf of first fruits and the goat that was offered for a sacrifice of burnt offering and the meal offering and all the rest. You see that in Leviticus and in chapter 23. And you see, keep in mind the drink offering. It was offered by the Israelite. The Israelite was joying and delighting in that, the joy and delight of the heart of God. My dear brother, my dear sisters, you and I, we can joy and rejoice in and delight in the person of the Lord Jesus, the one that delighted the heart of his God. Can I ask young people a simple question? Do you delight in the person of the Lord Jesus? Oh yes, you've trusted him as your Savior. The moment that you trusted him, the love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. But as time has moved on, is there a real appreciation? Can you joy and rejoice and delight in what God enjoys and rejoices and delights in? The person of his Son. Young people, read your Bible. We're not telling you to read chapters every day. but read a little of the Word of God every day and look for the person of the Lord Jesus and think about Him and allow your heart to be entwined around Him and to rejoice and to delight in the person of the Lord Jesus. And oh, to think that you and I, creatures of humanity, we can rejoice and delight in one that has rejoiced and delighted the heart of His God. What does Paul say? Am I ready? I've already been poured out. Time of my departure is at hand. Like the ship that's just about to be untied from the quayside and it's going out full. It's going out laden. He's leaving and he's going out and he's going out in triumph. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And he says, I fought a good fight. So I fought a good fight. Not only have I fought a good fight, but I finished my course and I kept the faith. We think of the faith. That is the truth of the Word of God. He kept it and he guarded it and he handed it on to others and they in turn, that they in turn might hand it on to others. Oh, the apostle, what you say? I fought a good fight. You see, the apostle practiced what he ministered. He wrote to his son Timothy in chapter 2 and he speaks of the Christian life. It's like a warfare. And he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Dear brother, dear sister, isn't there a little desire within your heart to please him? The person of the Lord Jesus. Now, it's nice to please your parents. And it's nice to please the brethren and the sisters in the assembly. But oh, get your sights on him. It really should be the burning desire of your heart that you and your life and testimony, that you may please him. No man at war entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Ah, yes, the writer to the Hebrews could say to those to whom he's writing, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, so that we might run the race and finish the course. My dear brother, my dear sister, I want to ask you a simple question. Now you think about this. Is there anything in your life that is holding you back in your service to God? I think every one of us that attended the conference in Sussex, New Brunswick last weekend, we were impressed with the ministry of a young man of 43 years of age. His name is Michael Penfold. A young man that's spending time with his Bible. A young man that is spending time in the presence of his God. And from time to time is coming forth from the presence of God before the people of God. And he's coming with words from God, with power and conviction. We cannot doubt it as we listen to the ministry that he gave. But he told us at a point in his experience, 17 years of age, now listen, I'm not here to tell young people don't kick a ball. I'm not here to tell young people never to lift a hockey stick. But as Michael Penfold was listening to the ministry of Mr. Jack Hunter, he loved the soccer. He was in the team. And as he listened to the Word of God being ministered from the late brother Mr. Jack Hunter, he understood now. This is an entanglement. This is keeping me back. This is going to hinder me in my service for God. Listen, dear brother, dear sister, there are things in this world that are legitimate. Maybe for you to have and for you to do. Nothing scripturally wrong with things that some individuals can be doing that would hinder them in their service to the Lord. Let us lay aside every weight everything that would hinder us in fulfilling the purpose of God in life. Here he said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He's the athlete that has run his life according to the guiding principles of the Word of God. My dear young brethren, you do develop. You do develop within your soul a real reverence for the Word of God, a real respect for the Word of God, and you be exercised to obey the Word of God. What does he say? Fought a good fight, I finished the course. I've kept the faith, and then he looks forward to the reward. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Keep in mind, we sing it with a sinner. Life at best is very brief. We don't have long to serve the best of masters. May the Lord help us as his people, that we might follow the example of Paul, who followed the example of Christ, and that at least in some little degree at the end we might be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith, and look forward to a little reward in the future.